Let's turn now in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll take our text in verse 19. That's Matthew chapter 4. We could read from verse 18 to verse 22, just to put this in its context. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And particularly the words in verse 19, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is now developing. He has become known as a preacher. He has started to do the first couple of miracles, for example, the turning of the water into wine. But now a new aspect to his ministry is opening up. His calling of the first disciples, calling of men whom he has chosen out specifically to take on this important role of leadership in his developing ministry. We saw the passage in Luke chapter 5 that we read earlier on, and now of course this passage from Matthew chapter 4, both of them involving the calling of these disciples. There are some differences between these accounts which suggest that these are two separate instances. And so it often is when the Lord is calling to service. He doesn't just call once. He calls us continually. And perhaps after a time we drift back for a time. We go back for a while to our old ways, and the Lord comes again and he calls more forcefully, more persuasively, until at last we leave all for good and follow him. We've been considering over the last few weeks the identity of Jesus. And here let's see another aspect of this identity opening up. The identity of Jesus from his call to service. And as we ourselves consider this passage, let's seek to hear the call of God to you, to me. What is the Lord calling us to do in obedience to himself? And what does this calling say about who the Lord Jesus truly is? First of all then, let's consider Jesus as leader. Jesus as leader. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's see that the Lord Jesus calls to service. Calls to obedience. It's true that in the first instance, the Lord Jesus is giving a call to salvation. And we already considered that in verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel call, the gospel message. But having come to know the Lord, having come to experience his salvation, we are then called upon to obey him, to walk in holiness of life, to walk in faithfulness to him. The Lord has not called us to a life of idleness or of worldliness. We're here in this world for a reason. The Lord does not, like with Enoch of old, immediately translate new converts into heaven. He has a purpose for them on earth. And if we are the Lord's people and are professing Jesus Christ today, then we need to think, what's the purpose of my life? What is the Lord calling me to do? Jesus' message to his disciples was, Follow me. And you must ask yourself, are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to obey him? To follow his guidance? To seek to live by his standards? In other words, to acknowledge that you are no longer in charge of your own life, but that the Lord Jesus is claiming authority over you. He walked by these fishermen, and like their master, like their employer, like their owner, he said, "Follow me." And they left all and followed him. What about you? What about me? When the Lord Jesus says, "Follow me." This, of course, is the mark of a true child of God, that we do not follow our own will, but we follow the will of the one whom we believe has purchased us for himself. We're called then to obedience. We're called to follow his pattern. "Follow me," he says. "Walk after me. Behave like me. Conduct yourselves like me." And this, of course, is the mark of all Christian service. It is following Christ. Following him. Following his pattern. Following his example. Learning from him. He is the perfect example. And here the disciples are beginning a process of training. Training for the ministry. They are going to follow the Lord Jesus. They are going to walk with him. Hear as he preaches his sermons. They are going to observe the dedication, the single-mindedness, the holiness of his life. They are going to learn from the Master himself as their training for the work that the Lord has called them to do. You know, children, nowadays, if you want to be, for example, a carpenter, a joiner, you have to get what's called an apprenticeship. That means you have to find a skilled joiner and you work alongside him as a young apprentice and you learn from that experienced craftsman. It's a very ancient system. If you wanted to be a joiner 2,000 years ago, you would have done exactly the same thing. Probably Jesus would have learned these skills from his father Joseph, working alongside him as an apprentice. And it's amazing that with all the tools, with all the skills of the modern life, even now, for many professions, like being a plumber or an electrician, it's recognised the best method of training is apprenticeship. Yes, you'll maybe spend one day a week in college because there are things that you can learn more usefully there. But the best training of all is on the job, with the skilled craftsman, seeing the kind of challenges that he has to deal with, the kind of problems that he has to solve. And that way you learn yourself, over time, the skills necessary to do the job yourself. And so it is with Jesus. He calls these disciples to apprenticeship. And so it is with us. He calls us to follow him, to learn of him. Jesus models for us perfect obedience and perfect holiness of life. Most of us are not called to the ministry specifically in terms of preaching, but we are, each one of us, as believers, called to obedience and holiness of life. And therefore we are called to follow Jesus, to follow his example, and to learn from him as we see him revealed to us in the scriptures. Children, what do you think we learn as we study the life of Jesus? What character comes through these stories, these accounts that we have in the Bible? We learn from the Bible that Jesus was a man of great compassion. We learn that he was loving, that he was patient, that he was kind. And that models for us the kind of life that we too should lead as Christians, a life of graciousness and of compassion. But we also learn that he was honest, and sometimes devastatingly so. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." These were hard words. People didn't like to hear such hard words, but Jesus was honest, and he told it straight. He knew they were hypocrites. He knew they were continuing in sin, and so he was honest. And we as Christians are called to be honest about our convictions, not to be men pleasers, not to just please people with smooth things. We are called to be faithful and honest in the service of the Master. And above all, of course, what we see as we look at the life of Jesus is absolute dedication to the will of God. He came not to do his own will, but to do the will of him that sent him. And we too are called upon to do the will of God in our lives. dedication. Oh, that we would learn of Jesus, and oh, that we would model ourselves upon this example of perfect holiness. Follow me. It really means be following me. Not just follow me once, one time only, but follow me and keep following me. In the original, there's a distinction in the way it's expressed that indicates that it is keep following me. And we need to understand that that is the Christian life. In this world, if you go and you train, let's say, to be a plumber, and you do your apprenticeship, and after 4 years you're qualified as a plumber, you don't keep working with the expert craftsman. You'll probably be working on your own, as someone who knows now how to do the job himself. But now, if you come across a problem and you can't fix it, if it's too complicated, too difficult, you don't have the expert there to show you how to do it. You have to make the best job you can, and if you can't do it, you have to acknowledge that you can't, and tell the owner of the property that he has to call a more experienced plumber. With us, with the Lord Jesus, he doesn't leave us after 4 years. He doesn't abandon us after some limited time of apprenticeship. We follow Jesus and we keep following him. And we have a presence with us in the Christian life to help and to sustain us along the way. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Think about these words. That's the comfort. That's the encouragement that we face. Yes, there are real challenges in the Christian life. Real challenges, difficulties and problems that we will sometimes face that seem insoluble. But we have a master. We have one to aid and to guide us, the presence of God with us and his help in the midst of all difficulty. And this is the comfort that you and I need, that the guide in our service is the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you're facing challenges this day, then he is the one to whom you need to turn, to whom I need to turn, to find that wisdom and help and guidance. For lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's our comfort as the people of God. Follow me and keep following me. Jesus then as leader. But secondly, let's see here, Jesus as teacher. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here is the perfect teacher. I will make you fishers of men. He's one who already knows the skill that he is trying to impart. And there's nothing worse than a teacher who is trying to communicate something that they don't really grasp themselves. A teacher has to understand the message that they are getting across. A good teacher knows their subject back to front and therefore is able to communicate it in an interesting and effective way to the children under their care. And Jesus, as the perfect teacher, he is already a fisher of men. I will make you fishers of men. How? Because he already is. Jesus is already a fisher of men, and we see that in this passage, don't we? He walks by, and there they are mending their nets, and he sends out his hook. Follow me. But there's a bait in the hook. I will make you fishers of men. And they see that prospect. They see the prospect of being the servants of Christ, of being his messengers, his heralds. And there is something in that that draws them to follow him. They've been caught. They've been captured by the master. And they forsake their nets and they follow him. He is already a fisher of men. And here we see him catching some men and beginning his process of training and of leadership. Oh, are you and I caught by the Lord Jesus? You know, he already has his purpose. He already has the plan. I will make you. You see, he knows the end point, doesn't he? The end point is that these men will become fishers of men. He's chosen that end point already. I will make you. He's got the goal in mind. And again, a good teacher knows the goal. They know what the purpose of the lesson is. They know the message that they want to convey through their teaching A good teacher knows where they want to get to with their lesson. And Jesus has a clear purpose. He wants these men to serve him as ministers. Like him, going forth preaching, teaching, healing, guiding, and building up the early church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you, that may not be his purpose. It may not be ministry that he is calling you to in the sense of preaching. But there are many other purposes that the Lord Jesus calls men to. And you need to listen and you need to think about what the Lord is calling you to do with your time and with your talents. Each one of us has a measure of skills. Each one of us has certain opportunities. Each one has certain gifts, whether it be of time, whether it be of money, whether it be of energy, which we can use in his service. And it's a personal question you need to ask. How is the Lord calling me to serve him? Follow me and I will make you. What? What does he want from you? And you need to solemnly ask that question and lay it before the Lord that he would show you and guide you in his purpose for your life. It's challenging, and that's not an easy question. But the wonderful thing is that here we also see the great comfort. I will make you fishers of men. You see, it's not going to be the disciples' own achievement to become fishers of men. It's the Lord Jesus who's going to make them fishers of men. He's going to do it, and he is able to achieve it. It's his work, it's his purpose, and therefore it will be his achievement to complete that goal. These disciples will fulfill his purpose. And because we know the history that follows, we know what happened. We know that the Apostle Peter, the Apostle James, the Apostle John, they went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit after the Lord Jesus had ascended into heaven. And these men preached the gospel. And these men were responsible for spreading that message far and wide. Certainly James and certainly Peter were eventually martyred for their faith. We don't know for sure about John. Quite possibly he was as well. But that message went forth with power. And through the service, through the dedication and the sacrifice of these men, multitudes were brought to know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. The Lord's work, and therefore it was accomplished. I will make you fishers of men. And so, as you identify your Christian service, as you recognize, this is what the Lord is calling me to do. This is what the Lord wants from me. You also recognize the Lord will do it. The Lord will bring it forth. The Lord will give the strength, the guidance, the wisdom, the help necessary to bring forth that service to himself. And therefore, you and I can take encouragement and can take comfort from such a passage. The Lord is in control. He is guiding our lives. And what we need is to be open to his leading, to be ready for that hook that comes as he walks by, to lead us and to guide us on the path of obedience. Oh, that we would be open to the will of God. Jesus as teacher. And that brings us thirdly to consider Jesus as a fisher of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This, of course, is Jesus' destined occupation for these men. They're not just going to be fishermen, they're going to become fishers of men, preachers of the gospel. But this is also, of course, his own work. He is calling them to do what he himself is doing. And therefore, just for a moment, let's consider the Lord Jesus himself as a fisher of men. Consider who he is. Consider this work that he has. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? A fisher of men. Think about a fisherman. He desires to catch fish. A fisherman is excited by that prospect. One who loves fishing is thrilled at the thought of the line being tugged and tugged by the powerful fish caught by the hook. They're thrilled at the thought of that battle as they let out the line and let out the line to exhaust the fish until at last they can start to reel it in. A fisherman loves that. They desire that, and they long for the moment when they will haul the great catch into the boat and take pride in this fish that they have caught. Fishermen love to catch fish. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. He has a love for the souls of men, and he has a longing to catch them, to make them his own. This is what we see revealed all through the scriptures. See, is the Lord Jesus speaking of the purpose of his coming into the world. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. His whole purpose in coming was not to bring condemnation, but to bring the prospect of salvation, to win souls for himself. There's such a crucial difference as well, isn't there? A fisherman brings death to the fish. Not cruelly, of course, not harshly, for a necessary purpose, but the fisherman brings death. The Lord Jesus, he catches, not for death, not for consumption, but for life, for the joy of everlasting life. This is the prospect that is on the hook of Christ. This is the bait that catches our eye, that draws us after him, that draws us to seize him. The prospect of an everlasting eternity with himself. This bait draws us. And he has come to offer us that life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He desires a catch. He works for a catch. Those of you who know lovers of fishing, you know that they work hard for it. The fisherman gets up early in the morning so that he can catch the fish when they are near the surface of the water. The fisherman will be going out maybe at 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe earlier still, tramping across the moors to find the best spot, getting ready so that as the day is breaking, the hooks are in the water, the lines are in the water. They are ready, they are prepared as the fish come towards the surface. It is the long, patient wait. The fisherman is not afraid of weariness, of tiredness. He is prepared to work hard, to travel long hours for the sake of the fish. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. He came into this world, enduring all the suffering and all the misery that this world brings. He endured the hardships of all this life. He endured the sufferings and the death of the cruel cross of Calvary, all for the sake of winning for himself a people, of purchasing them by his own blood. And that longing is expressed, it's not just in words, it's in the diligent action that we see revealed. Christ himself working for the catch, putting that effort in to win for himself a people. How wonderful it is to see Christ as our fisherman. And see, most of all, how the fisherman prizes his catch. A fisherman is proud. We have it in our culture, don't we? A fisherman's stories. The great fish that got away. But how proud a fisherman is, even of the few fish that he has managed to catch. Fishermen delight in their fish. They are proud of their fish. They are glad to show them off. They rejoice to eat the fish on their plate that evening, proud of the freshness of the catch. And so it is with Jesus. He is proud of his people. He is proud of these souls that he has snatched from everlasting death. Says the writer to the Hebrews, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And he then quotes the Old Testament text, behold I and the children which God hath given me. Is that not the attitude of the Lord Jesus, proud, not ashamed of those whom he has called to be his children, to be his family, to be his loved ones for all eternity? He prizes the catch. The Lord Jesus as our fisher of men. the identity of Jesus from his call to service. A couple of final thoughts of application. Are you valued as his catch? Think of that. He is a fisherman. He has caught, we trust, those of us who love the Lord. Are you valued like that? Think what the Lord Jesus did to purchase your soul if you are truly a child of God. Think what he went through so that you would be part of his kingdom. Think how he loves you and delights in you. Behold the children whom the Lord has given me. Think of that. And is that not ground for encouragement and for hope in the midst of this wicked world? Yes, we can be cast down by depression and discouragement. Yes, we can think, why would anyone want a sinner such as me? But the Lord endured all these sufferings for sinners like us. Therefore, let's take heart and let's take comfort from that. Ask yourself, are you called to fish? Each one of us has a calling, and we are called to serve him in this world. And fishing is here a metaphor for Christian service. Are you called to serve on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, each one of us has that calling in some degree, and we must ask ourselves, in what direction is that calling to me? Am I called upon to be a faithful Christian parent? Is that my responsibility before God? Am I called upon to be a faithful Christian witness in my workplace? Is that my calling before God? Am I called upon to serve him as an office bearer, as a minister? Am I called upon to be faithful as a fisher of men, working for his kingdom, working to catch souls for the master? Each one of us, you know, has an opportunity to cast out a hook. Each one of us has an opportunity to seek to draw those whom we know, those whom we love, unto the Lord. Oh, that we would be faithful. That if the Lord is calling us to obedience, that we would obey. That we would be fishers of men. And then again, are you being fished today? Are you seeing that hook in the water? Follow me. Are you seeing the blessed bait that is on it? Everlasting life, the hope of eternity, the hope of glory. Are you hearing the call of the gospel today? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, think of the wonder of heaven. Think of the eternity of heaven. And if you haven't yet seized on that hook, then maybe now is the time, now is the chance to seize that hook, to seize the prospect that is there, and to cling to Christ no matter what. Oh, that we would be found amongst his catch, that we would be those loved by him, drawn by him through the waters of this world, until at last we are brought into his everlasting habitation. Oh, that the Lord would work mightily in each one of us to draw us unto salvation. Amen. The Lord bless his word. Let's come before him in prayer. Let us pray. O holy and almighty God, we bless and we praise thee for the beauty of this gospel and for the blessed prospect of everlasting life with thyself. We do give thanks for the comfort of it and for the joy of the hope of thy salvation. O, turn us from sin, to love thee and to delight in thee, and to embrace thee as our Saviour. We wait upon thee now, seeking thy help and seeking thy grace. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.